Saturday reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, 4th canto, chapter 6, text number 47.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Vaishnava was advised not to kill Daksha. Vaishnava is described as Paradukha Dukhi, because although he is never distressed in any condition of life, he is distressed to see others in a distressed condition. Vaishnavas, therefore, should not try to kill by any action of the body or mind, but should try to revive the Krishna consciousness of others out of compassion for them. The Krishna consciousness movement has been started to deliver the envious persons of the world in the clutches of Maya, and even though devotees are sometimes put into trouble, they push on the Krishna consciousness movement in all tolerance. Lord Chaitanya advises, Tanandapi Sanichena Tarorapi Sahishnana Amandina Manadena Kirtaniya Sadhavi. One can chant the holy name of the Lord in a humble state of mind, thinking himself lower than the straw in the street. One should be more tolerant than the tree, devoid of all sense of false prestige, and ready to offer all respect to others. In such a state of mind, one can chant the holy name of the Lord constantly. Sikshastikam, number 3. A Vaishnava should follow the examples of such Vaishnavas as Haridas Thakur, Nityananda Prabhu, and also Lord Jesus Christ. There is no need to kill anyone who has already been killed, but it should be noted herewith that a Vaishnava should not tolerate the blaspheming of Vishnu or Vaishnavas, although he should tolerate personal insults to himself.
Vande Hum. Shri
curse each other in anger. Sometimes and they murder them. But these terrorists now, they're so full of anger, they take a car and drive over a crowd of people. It's so full of anger. It's very heavy. This is describing what we're experiencing now in the material world. They've already been killed by problems. There's no need for them to be killed again by an exalted personality like you. Of course, if someone's a criminal, according to the Vedic system, murder is put to death. Not that we don't, the government doesn't kill them, but they're murderers. And when the government punishes, that, if the murderer is put to death, that gives him, he's getting that free from that reaction. Otherwise, he has to go on suffering for a long, long time. So, capital punishment is actually Vedic. Because he gets free immediately from the reaction of murder. So this doesn't mean the government, this is not against capital punishment. But it's meant personally, we should be very tolerant, this is the point. If you insult me, I'm not going to insult you in return. You see? I was thinking I deserve worse. I'm such a scum that actually they call me a jerk, you compliment me. I really deserve it. Described in much more foul language than it's being called a jerk. Actually, I'm lower than the dog stool is. This is how a Vaishnava feels. He doesn't become angry when he's insulted. He feels, actually, he's minimized by Vaishnava. What I really like about this purport is Prabhupada's very clearly explaining. He said, except for a few persons in Krishna consciousness. Well, hopefully that's us. Hopefully. Except for a few persons in Krishna consciousness, the entire world is full of such envious persons. We have to make sure that we're not Kali Chela, that means posing as devotees with tilak in the nose and kantimala in the neck and still remaining envious. We need to be careful that we're actually in that number that Prabhupada talks about. He's talking about the Krishna conscious persons and the envious persons. Let's make sure we're in the Krishna conscious person category, not the envious person category. What is the result of being the envious? You suffer like hell. Prabhupada describes. These envious persons are perpetually full of anxieties because they're attached to the material body and are without self-realization. Their hearts are always filled with anxiety. So this is the difference between being envious and being Krishna conscious. Someone who is actually Krishna conscious is free from anxiety. What if I'm a devotee and I'm full of anxiety? You could have. Well, that means you're not really a devotee in the full sense. You're just starting to become a devotee. If I'm still in anxiety about this and that, it means I haven't, my Krishna consciousness is not fully awakened. The sun has not yet dawned. The darkness of night is still present within my heart. The beauty of this process is, even if a glimmer of that sunshine, even if the sun globe itself is not manifest, even if a glimmer, this is called Namabhas, even if a glimmer of it, of the enlightenment of Krishna consciousness is manifest, that can save you. You see? So we should, whatever level we're at, we should be very grateful to Prabhupada, to Krishna, to our Guru Maharajas, to devotees. We should be very, very, very grateful how they have blessed me with Krishna consciousness. Very, very grateful. I really like also what Prabhupada says here. We should try to revive the Krishna consciousness of others. Krishna Dhamma's movement has been started to deliver the envious persons of the world from the clutches of Maya. Well, the movement is for that purpose. So if I'm a member of this movement, should I also have the same purpose? Should I, the movement has the purpose of liberating the envious persons in the world, which is practically the whole world, except for a few Krishna conscious persons. If the movement has that mission, as a member of this movement, should I also have that mission or not? Well, we're supposed to have it. Prabhupada told us. He said, you come guru to live with the world. Well, I'm not initiating. No, there's also siksha guru. One who instructs. He said, everyone, even if you're not a diksha guru, you're meant to be a siksha guru. And you become a diksha guru in the future. Everyone is meant to be guru on the order of Lord Chaitanya. Jari deka tatika Krishna upadesh amara guru bhagatani desh. Whomever you meet, become their guru. Instruct them in the science of Krishna. In this way, they'll live with these people. So this is very much the duty of each and every Chaitanyaite, of which we are, and your Chaitanyaites, followers of Lord Chaitanya. It is our duty to embrace this world deliverance mission. That first I must situate myself in Krishna consciousness. By nice chanting, by nice meeting, by nice association, by nice morning program, by nice relationships, proper relationship with my guru, with the Vaishnavas, I must situate myself nicely in Krishna consciousness. That's step number one. And step number two, now I must try to do everything I can throughout my entire life to serve this world deliverance mission. Freeing the envious persons from the miserable, anxiety-ridden lives and bringing them to the blissful status of Krishna consciousness. A Krishna conscious person is described as paradukha-dukhi. Personally, he's ecstatic. He's blissing out every minute. When he's actually Krishna conscious, is tasting the sweetest nectar every minute of the day. He is also tasting poison. Along with that nectar, and the poison in these poor suffering souls. It's horrible what they're doing. In spite of all their, you know, Santa Claus hats on the beach, they're miserable. They're trying to be happy. They're hyping themselves up, yeah, I got my Santa Claus hat, I'm out on the beach. Enjoying Christmas Day, Santa hat. They're just trying to enjoy. There's actually no enjoyment. There is no enjoyment. These people are miserable. Although they think they're happy, that's the difficulty. That's why we have a hard time bringing them to Krishna consciousness. They think they're happy. That's the great challenge we face. How to convince these people who think that they're happy, they're actually miserable. It's very difficult. Very, very difficult. We have to pray to Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda, please bless us, that somehow or other we can attract these fools, these envious fools, to become your devotees. We have to pray for that mercy. To pray for Lord Chaitanya, Lord Nityananda's mercy. And this material society is based on sense gratification, and because of that, is getting worse and worse and worse and worse. These mass shootings, when I was a kid, we never heard of them. Mass people going crazy and taking guns. The first one was in Austin, Texas, and we have our center. The Tower Sniper. It was a shock to the world. This crazy guy went up on this tall building, the tallest building in the University of Texas, that had an observation tower where you could go out and outside. He got there and shot about 30 people with a high-powered rifle. It was a shock. Now it's every other day. I mean, it's just the whole thing is just going down, 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 down. Don't be naive. Think, oh, it's going very, very nicely up there. It's getting worse and worse and worse. When I was a young man, abortion was illegal. And then they legalized it. kill your kid, it's alright. Before you couldn't kill your kid, now you can kill your own child, it's alright. What's the difference between killing a child before he's born and after he's born? It's the same child. These people have no brain. They're just lusty, crazy people who want sense gratification. It's very difficult to reason with these people. They're so enamored by this illusory happiness. So much carried away. So how are we convinced them? That's the question. How we do our duty to liberate them? That's the question. Well, the one thing we have on our side is Krishna consciousness. The more we become Krishna conscious, the more we become empowered to attract them. If I'm a little bit Krishna conscious, I have a little bit of ability to attract other people to Krishna. If I'm more Krishna conscious, I have more of an ability. So, what's the logical conclusion? If we're going to do our duty to living in the world, we have to become pure devotees. That's what it boils down to. If we want to do our duty of attracting everyone to Krishna, then I should become a 100% pure devotee of Krishna. I should be begging for that every day. I shouldn't be content to be a karma mishra bhakta holding on to material desire. Doesn't matter, brahmachari, householder, sannyasi. Every single devotee is begging Krishna for pure devotion service. We have a special prayer for them. You know that prayer?
Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
My dear Radharani, my dear Lord Krishna, please kiss me fully in your pure devotion service. Begging, begging, begging. Every day, we're taught to beg every day for pure bhakti. So we shouldn't just mechanically chant, you know, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, nonsense. This is a plea to the Supreme Lord and Srimati Radharani to please pull me out of my ridiculous nonsense material consciousness and bring me to pure devotion service. We're chanting, we spend the time chanting anyway, so why not intensify the mood? Since you're going to chant anyway, don't put your hand in your mouth, you know. Prabhupada said it dirty is dirty in the English. Since we're going to chant anyway, why not chant instead of spaced out? Why not chant in the mood of begging for pure devotional service? Why not? Why not say, okay, let me tune in and understand the real purpose of this mantra and actually put my, you know, beg Krishna, my dear Krishna, I'm going to chant my vows now, please bless me, I can chant in the pure mood of begging for pure bhakti. Bless me, my dear Lord, for these 16 vows, I can be fully locked in, begging for pure devotional service. So why not do that? Why not beg Krishna to help us chant in that mood? When you do, then there will be a tremendous advancement we'll make every time we chant our vows. We'll make a tremendous, tangible advancement every time we chant our vows, every day. And the more we do that, you see, the more those pure qualities will actually manifest in us. 26 qualities are given in the scriptures. Those qualities of a Vaishnava will become manifest to the extent that we're actually able to meditate on Krishna's name properly. Because meditating on Krishna's name in the proper room, we're directly associating with the person Krishna. Directly. Just like when you go to Goloka Vrindavan, and actually be there with Krishna. You have that facility every time you chant your mantra, to be that close to Krishna. So we'll chant in this mood, begging, 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 Krishna, I'm such a dog, I'm so lusty, I'm so angry, I can't control my tongue, I can't control my mind, please save me, my Lord. Bless me, I can go deep, deep, deep into your holy name, Krishna, please. In that mood, then we can start to become
we can start to really do some of the traffic in this earth loops, moment to movement. Until we can make the whole world Krishna conscious, we have not carried out Prabhupada's order. That's a pretty big order. Deliver the whole world. Wow. And just having, you know, 1,000 people come for, and 5,000 people come showing up for Ratha Yatra, that's great. But we still haven't finished, we haven't done our duty yet until the whole world comes to Ratha Yatra. We're incomplete in our service. Like someone says, go wash the dishes, then go wash a few of them and leave the rest of the dirty ones in the sink. Prabhu, you didn't finish your service. See all those dirty dishes in the sink? Well, we have a lot of dirty dishes. The whole human society is our dirty dishes. We're supposed to clean the whole sink. We're supposed to preach in such a way they close the slaughterhouses, they stop the abortions, everything becomes. We are meant to establish full-blown Vaishnava culture in every town and village on this planet. The Prabhupada's, what did Bhakti Siddhanta say? When the high court judges are wearing tilak, how many high court judges are wearing tilak? Maybe a few in India. But how many high court judges in Australia are wearing Vaishnava tilak? Did you count it lately? Zero. In the US? Zero. Well, our preaching has hardly begun. We don't have one justice here in the Western countries wearing Vaishnava tilak in the Supreme Court. Even the lower courts, but to speak of the Supreme Court, how much work we have to do. And that all of our sleeves and really get to work. What can we do to make ourselves purely Krishna conscious and make the world Krishna conscious? People criticize me that I just keep repeating the same thing again and again. He says, his lectures are not very deep, he's too repetitive. But what can I say? Prabhupada said to save the world, and I had to repeat them. Maybe people get tired of hearing it. But I just tell some stories, you know, and forget about our duty. And Prabhupada's telling us here. I'm sorry if I'm boring you with being so repetitive that we have to become Krishna conscious, we have to make the world Krishna. We sing it every morning. Bahir nasino hridaye nasino. Prabhupada says it, may Lord Shinide dwell within my heart, killing all my bad propensities so that my mind becomes completely clean and I can bring peace to the entire world. Prabhupada is saying it. So, this is our duty. We have to actually develop this mood of pure bhakti, become free from all these anointings. Nartanavritti. See, that's the tough stage. Shraddha, have some faith, okay. A lot of people have faith in God, Shraddha, alright, faith. And then, Sadhu Sangha, then you start associating with the buddies. We have a huge congregation here, they're associating pretty good. And when it's a little more serious, well, now let me take this process seriously, accept the rules and regulations. Accept the japa mala, then come to bhajan and kriya, become initiated disciple. You see. Now the next stage is really, this is what really separates the men from the boys, as we say. Anartanavritti. Getting rid of the lust, the anger, the greed, the madness, illusion. And this is where we really have to get down and get to work. Right. Now I have to get rid of this dirt. To stop being lazy, crazy, angry, lusty. How many lusty thoughts go through our minds every day? How many angry thoughts? All this stuff, isn't it? It's really bad. We Neophytes go through a lot of anarchists. We're swimming in an ocean of anarchists, actually. So now we have to. Those anarchists have to go down to the point of nil. That's what we have to very seriously cultivate. That's what this japa is doing. We're begging Krishna to free us from all this good. Begging. The fact is that we're all actually associates of Krishna from this transcendental kingdom. But due to do some envy. We come here to fight and enjoy separate eternity. Now we have to get free of that envious tendency and become fully absorbed and fully absorbed in this mood and the desire to please Krishna unlimitedly with every word I speak, with every thought that I think, every action I perform in my body, in all times and all places for all eternity. We have to remold our consciousnesses back to the original natural position. In the beginning, it seems unnatural because we're so conditioned to material consciousness. Therefore, sadhana bhakti means you act according to rules and regulations. But the beauty of this is because actually your pure original nature is purely devotional. By engaging in the regulated principles of Krishna consciousness very seriously and sincerely under the guidance of the bona fide spiritual master, then gradually that natural tendency, they kick back in and take over and drive out the unnatural tendencies in which we've been absorbed for millions of lifetimes. Spontaneous love of God begins to manifest gradually. The key is you have to keep following the rules and regulations. This is the process of curing ourselves from the contamination of lust, anger, greed, madness, religion, and envy. If we keep cultivating this awakening by following sincerely the instructions of Guru and Krishna, then the magic happens, the transformation happens. We actually come back to our original pure consciousness. As Krishna says in the Gita, the one who sees me everywhere and sees everything in me, I am never lost, nor is he ever lost to me. By purifying our consciousness, anatta nivritti, we can gradually come to that position where we tangibly experience Krishna everywhere. Krishna within everything and everything within Krishna. So that's something to shoot for, something to aspire for. By doing that, by cultivating that mood, then Krishna will be empowered to actually do the highest welfare work. As I was explaining, the more we're attracted to Krishna, the more we can attract the world to Krishna. I cannot attract you more to Krishna than I'm attracted to Krishna. To whatever extent I'm attracted to Krishna, I can attract you to Krishna. Therefore, each of us should aspire to become unlimitedly attracted to Krishna. Unlimitedly attracted. Lord Chaitanya, I know no one but Krishna is my Lord, and he shall remain so even if he handles me lovingly by his embrace, or leaves me brokenhearted by not being present before me. He is simply my worshipful Lord, unconditionally. See, many people believe in God, but it's all conditions. I will go to the church. If God will answer my prayers, then I will go to the church and worship. I'm praying for a new job, and I got it, so I'll go to the church. I'm praying for a new job, so I didn't get it, so I'm not going to go to the church. That's not religion. That's materialism in the name of religion. So real religion means whatever Krishna wants, that's all right. Whatever Krishna wants. It's like that story. There was one king, and he had a prime minister who was very Krishna conscious. Prime minister used to say, whatever Krishna does is all right. He's always having faith in Krishna's plans. So, one day the king had an accident. He cut off his finger. Prime Minister said, don't worry, Majesty, whatever Krishna does is all right. Whatever Krishna does is all right, I lost my finger in the dungeon with you. So, you know, in those days, the Kshatriya, they would go hunting in the forest to practice the killing art because they would lead the fight on the battlefield. They wouldn't sit comfortably in the palace. They were the first ones on the battlefield if there was an enemy. So to practice the killing art, in times of peace, they would go hunting the wild animals in the forest that are harassing the sages like tigers. So the king, the prime minister also came with him on these honeymoon conditions. But anyway, the king now went out without the prime minister, and he was captured by some dacoits, worshippers of goddess Kali. They wanted to make a human sacrifice of the king, goddess Kali. So they had him all ready, a new dhoti, gave him a bath, made his last meal. But they thought, oh my goodness, he's missing a finger. We can't offer him to goddess Kali. Should be free. So they let him go. So the king comes back to the palace, saying, wow, the prime minister was right, man. Krishna, it saved my, I lost my finger, it saved my life. Wow. So amazing, the prime minister's vision. He went into the dungeon, there was the prime minister, you know, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. And he said, you're not angry at me? I unnecessarily put you here in the prison. He said, oh, your majesty, I go with you on those trips and I have all my fingers. Whatever Krishna does is all right. So in this way, actually it's a thing. For a devotee, there's no such thing as reverse, because he sees the loving hand of Krishna in every step in his life. Even if I have to die today, that means Krishna has some another better position, another universe, another planet. He has another service for me. I'm being transferred from the deity department to the Sankirtan. I'm just transferred to a different department, that's all. You see, a devotee is simply absorbed in serving Krishna, that's all. I can serve in this world, another world, in this body, a male body, a female body. Doesn't matter, a demigod body. I can serve in any situation. Suddenly, Krishna, I belong to you. Now you do whatever you want to with me. That's all. So death is a piece of cake. Oh, I'll leave my body today. Cool. Go to sleep and wake up with Krishna. So even death is not fearful. Was it actually a Vaishnava? No. Kill me right now, it's fine. I know that I will not die unless Krishna ordains me. Mare Krishna Rakeke, Rake Krishna Mareke. If Krishna wants to kill you, nobody can protect you. If Krishna wants to protect you, nobody can kill you. So I have nothing to fear. My death will come only when it is ordained by Krishna. Nobody else can decide that I should die. That is completely up to Krishna. So when it comes, great. Another service. Being transferred to a different department. That's all. Death doesn't exist. Death is an illusion. There's no such thing as death. They simply transfer from one department to another. So if there's any questions, I can try to answer them. And now we'll adjourn. Yes?
Mean-minded
people.
So can you explain what does it mean?
They're mean-minded means selfish. It's selfish people. You know the word mean means? Nasty, cruel. Somebody is very rude. Meanness means they're rude, they're nasty, they're cruel, they're selfish, they're egotistical. They're not kind. We encounter it all the time. These are very mean, nasty, selfish, and cruel. It's about. And they just care about themselves. That answer your question?
So, does being envious is
not... Absolutely. That's the cause of their meanness, they're envious. That meanness, that nastiness, that cruel nature, these are all symptoms of their envy. But I don't want you to be ahead of me, therefore I will put you you down and hold you back.
It's like in, during the apartheid in South Africa, there used to be a saying, if you're white, you're all right. If you're brown, that's the Indians, you see. Don't stick around. If you're black, get back. It's a very cruel move. If you're white, you're all right. If you're brown, oh, you can stick around. If you're black, get back. Yes.
I knew the first man doctor that legalized abortion in Australia because he was an ordinary doctor, but women were coming to his surgery in the middle of the night and passing away on his table because they'd been to see backyard abortionists. So, you know, unscrupulous men were forced him into a position where he could legalize it.
Let me catch up. I'm hearing, what's he saying? Can somebody hear me?
Women that he surgery at the middle of the night.
Middle of the night.
No, that was cool. Lead to death on his table because they've been to receive back now abortionists.
Can somebody make up what he's saying?
It's about abortion. You say something about
abortion.
Abortion? It's in. Women are knocking on this doctor's door. He was the first man in Victoria to legalize abortion.
First man to legalize abortion?
Yeah, in Victoria, in Australia.
Is there a question?
Yeah.
Women were passed away on his table because they'd seen backyard abortionists and they bleed to death on his table. So that's why abortions were legalized.
He passed to legalize away. Abortion because some woman.
So in. In Victoria, there was this doctor who was doing the backyard operations for the women.
Doing
abortions.
Doing what? Illegal abortions.
Illegal abortions.
Yeah.
Backyard.
Yeah. What about that?
He's saying the justification for abortion is that there was.
Oh, the justification for abortion is
that women were bleeding to death because of. Illegal abortion.
And so they made it
legal so they could.
So we'll make it legal so they can do it in a more professional. They were being aborted very unprofessionally and they were sometimes dying because of that. So let's murder the kids in a more professional way so the ladies won't die when they're having an abortion. Interesting.
Yeah, there's a lot of back
there. Any questions? That's an interesting point, yeah. Let's kill the children professionally instead of amateur. Let's do an amateur job of murdering the kids. And let's not do an amateur job of killing the kids because that may hurt the mothers. Let's kill the kids professionally. That's the idea here. The modern day governments will professionally kill the kids.
So they also.
Huh?
A woman's right because she has that, but she has to take care of
the
body, but she has a free will,
but
that living entity
does. Yeah, they have this saying that it's my womb, I have a right to do whatever I want to with it. Yeah, that's an argument that women's livers give them. You know, it's my body, I have a right to do whatever I want to. For you to say, tell me what I can do with it. Actually, it's not your body, it's the kid's body. A separate person now, living in it, just like you're living in it, there's a living being there. Just like you, he has equal rights as you. Anyway, any questions? Yes?
To see the reverses in life as the mercy and benediction of Krishna.
Did you say mission in life?
Reverses.
What's he
saying
here?
Reverses.
Reversals in life, okay.
You see those difficulties in life as mercy of Krishna.
There's no such thing as a reversal, it means your material consciousness.
Yes.
And there's no such thing as a reversal for a Vaishnava. But I'll give you an example. Even Prabhupada thought it was a reversal. Of course, it's a samlila, of course. There was a time in Los Angeles, in the early days of this kind,
some god brothers of Prabhupada had polluted the minds of the disciples. And Prabhupada was being minimized within this kind. And he saw all the symptoms. They didn't say founder Charya Viskan on some book they published. He was seeing some, he could read the subtle signs that was going on. He was being minimized. And Prabhupada came, that's when he formed a GBC body. He was so disturbed by this thing. He called Tamar Krishna from Europe to LA. And he said, get me out of here. Prabhupada was so disturbed. He said, get me out of here. Tamal said, look, where do you want to go, Prabhupada? How about Florida? It's like 3,000 miles away. Prabhupada says, not far enough. That's how disturbed he was. And then Prabhupada prayed to Rukmini Gorkhanish, why are you kicking me away? Prabhupada could not understand. So he went to India and started preaching over there. In Bombay, Mayapur, Vrindavan, they all came up. Became huge. And then Prabhupada said, now I understand. So even Prabhupada didn't understand. But it would seem to be a reversal. It was actually Krishna's arrangement that this movement could take off in India also. So sometimes we don't, even in Prabhupada, I take it as a lila. Prabhupada is perfectly aware of everything. There's some lila in Prabhupada to teach us. But that happened. Sometimes we don't understand, but then later on we say, that was a great thing. I don't understand why Krishna did that to me. But then later on we say, oh, it was actually a great blessing in disguise. So actually, reversals are actually blessings in disguise, and no one has the proper vision. Does that answer your question?
Yeah, it does. I was also wanting to hear that it is not only very difficult, but it is also very painful.
What is he saying, David?
In the beginning, it's, we can understand later, but in the beginning, it's very painful.
Yeah, that's why you just have to have faith that whatever Krishna does is all right. And remind yourself. But that doesn't mean I have to accept some. I mean, maybe Krishna wants me to also do something about it. Not that, you know, just like that night the bandit came to our temple in Miami with the guns, the bandits came. In other words, Krishna's arraignment, whatever Krishna's all right, just give him the money. It's not like that. Sometimes Krishna wants us to fight also. It's like instead of all the devotees bowed down on the floor, they surrendered to the thieves. And I didn't. I just yelled out and shing it at the top of my lungs. And, so it doesn't mean you're passive. Maybe you're supposed to fight and do something in that situation also. Someone comes to rob the temple, is he given the money? Maybe. It's a matter of life and death. Maybe if they're going to kill the devotees, maybe he should give them the money. In that situation, we didn't have to. Krishna protected us. So it doesn't mean you're passive. You may be very active. It's like Arjuna had to be very active in the battlefield of Kurukshetra. You may be very active in this situation. But the same principle holds. Krishna is arranging everything perfectly for each and every one of us, how to come back to Him as soon as possible. We just have to learn how to act in every situation in a way that is fully pleasing to Guru and Krishna. That's how we'll be a master of all times, places, and circumstances. Does that make it clear? Anything else? Yes, Guru.
In the Bhagavatam, at the beginning of the Bhagavatam, it says that this Bhagavatam is for those who are not envious.
Non-envious person, that's right.
But it's also said that by hearing Bhagavatam, you become free from envy.
Bhagavatam will free you from that.
Yeah, free from it. So,
How does that work?
If
somehow we can induce the envious persons to read the Bhagavatam, to hear the Bhagavatam, to follow the Bhagavatam, they will also become non-envious. That's our challenge as preachers, to make that which is not attractive to them somehow attractive, get them attracted to it. That's the challenge we face as preachers. How do we somehow present Krishna consciousness in a way that the people become attracted because they're not attracted to it. They're envious people. They don't want to succumb to Krishna. Krishna, forget it. That is our challenge, how to somehow bring the envious people and connect them with Bhagavad Gita. That's a great challenge, because if we can do that, the envious persons will become transformed into non-envious persons. Just like Prabhupada did us. We were all envious people. And by the mercy of Prabhupada, we're on the path of non-envious, we're not fully there yet. On the path of non-envious. Anything else? Yeah. All right.
I was just thinking about when you say that the devotees think that you are repetitive and not going deep, so they must be really advanced, but there are so many neophytes also who have just come and wouldn't even know. So they need to hear. And repetition also, how deep we have gotten into it.
Yeah.
So, unless we are fully free of anarthas, then repetition is not good.
Well, I hope that my lectures are benefiting somebody. I hope they're not too boring and repetitive, too shallow. I'm trying to make them deep. I can only take you as deep as I am, some, because I'm not very deep. I'm still on the surface of Krishna consciousness. I'm not very deep in Krishna consciousness yet. I'm praying for them. I'm praying that Prabhupada will give me a limited depth, but I'm not there yet. I'm still trying to get out of Mayavi, so I'm trying the best I can to make the lectures attractive and inspiring. I'm sorry if you all are finding it difficult to handle. Please forgive me for my neophyte lectures. Yes?
The person's behavior is
affecting
us. How should we
respond?
What she's
saying?
A person's behavior is affecting in our lives, so how should we respond?
A
person? Behavior affecting our lives.
Yeah, it's naturally we're affected by the behavior of others, as long as we're on a material platform. That means you have to come to the spiritual platform. See, then you become transcendental to everything in this material existence. You have to cultivate pure bhakti. You see, the devotee, he's influenced by his guru and by Krishna and by advanced Vaishnavas. He allows himself only to be influenced by those purely Krishna conscious influences. The other ones, he just turns them out. Shelter, bona fide guru, get initiated, and accept the order of guru's light and soul. That's Prabhupada's fundament. Shelter, diksha, and his order is light and soul. That's Prabhupada's fundament, becoming a Jain. My spiritual master's order is my very light and soul. When you do that, you become transcendental to all the influence of this material world. Instead of being influenced by the external energy, now you become the influencer. You allow yourself only to be influenced by Guru, Krishna, and exalted Vaishnavas. And then that puts you in a position, instead of being influenced, now you become the influencer to influence them to come to the higher platform. Understand? Instead of being pulled down, you pull them up. You're unflinchingly dedicated to Guru and Krishna, you'll be empowered to elevate everything by your association. That you have that intensity of devotion, you must now cultivate. And then you'll become empowered preacher to elevate everyone by your association. Understand? Yes.
Maharaj, is this possible to measure the amount of bhakti we have? Like, and we can retrospectively, we can check what we are in 1 year before and what we bhakti we have 1 year after.
It's amazing.
He says, how we can gauge our bhakti, how much we have done. And,
how we can do what?
Gauge.
Change.
Measure.
How you can understand what, how much development you have done, how much.
Oh, it's very, understand what level you're on, you mean?
Yes.
Very simple. Prabhupada told me in one letter, he said, now you disqualify yourself to see Krishna face to face. If you're not seeing Krishna face to face, you're still a neophyte. Are you seeing Krishna face to face wherever you go?
But not everybody.
Are you? Are you?
Darshan, but not
everybody. You're meeting me, are you seeing Krishna face to face? Do you see everything in Krishna and Krishna and everything wherever you go?
No.
So you're a neophyte. That's all. You're a neophyte.
But Bhagavatam also says that you can gauge your bhakti level, how much sense gratificatory activities you have given up.
How much you have detached from all forms of thought, all types of sense gratification, even your thoughts. I can see how much a neophyte I am. It's pretty easy to see how much a neophyte I am. So actually, the more you can see that you're a neophyte, that's actually advancement. The topmost Vaishnava, Uttamadhikari, he sees that he is the most wicked, vile demon in all of existence, and that everybody else is a pure devotee. That's his humility. So the more you can feel humble and lowly, now you're so just try to become, increase that humble feeling more and more and more and more and more. I'm not dog stool, I'm the worm in the dog stool. I'm the stool of the worm in the stool. Yes?
Sorry, I just wanted to quote one of the statements that you mentioned two days ago, lecture. This is how we can measure our level of advancement. You said if we can see how advanced we are based on the quality of our relationship with the family, how we are performing challenges. So based on that, we can see what the level of
you said that the level in your lecture, you said what advancement we have made by telling at the level of the how much we have developed our relationship with the Holy Name.
Yes, the more. Another sign of advancement is loving relationship with Vaishnava, with Guru and Vaishnava. The more you have sweet, loving, beautiful relationships, that's also a sign of your advancement. Non-envious, well-wisher of all, you see, that's advancement. A friend to all. You have no enemies. You're friendly to everyone.
There are many symptoms. There are many symptoms.
Yeah, that's another good many symptoms. That's another symptom. Humility, friendly to everyone, respecting everyone, always having loving dealing with everyone, the six loving exchanges. Yes?
Maharaj, if we become too much of a humble, whether it will not make us a weak to challenge anything with this effectively.
That's the thing, if you become too humble, you'll be exploited, is that what you're saying? Yeah, there is that one has to humble within, but also tell them not to be exploited. That's also the
thing.
A lion and a lamb at home and a lion in the chase. And actually, the more you Prabhupada said, what did he say? Act like a lion, did he say? No one can defeat me, what did he say? What's that called?
Act like a king.
No. Oh, act like a king. Yeah, Prabhupada said, act like a king because nobody can defeat me. So actually, on behalf of Krishna, the humble lord becomes the king, a powerful monarch. A preacher becomes, even though he's in complete humility, he becomes the most powerful propagator of ideas, very powerful fighter. He becomes like a lion. So the more you become like a lamb, in the company of Guru and Vaishnavas, the more it comes to preaching work, you become a powerful lion. You can actually attract, you can go out and chastise the whole world with great power and potency.
For example, like a fire in the ashes is covered, but when it's needed, it can light up in a big flame.
What's that?
Fire.
The fire.
Yeah,
the fire in the ashes. When needed, it can become a huge blazing forest fire. So the devotee keeps that fire always burning in his heart. And if necessary, it can become a huge forest fire. You see, to burn up the material consciousness of the envious persons. Anything else? Yeah. Why don't you come close so I can hear you? Oh, your back, your bad back. Okay, that's all right. Say that.
In the airport, Sri Prabhupada posted the best Vinada Visuni channel. This, from the Sixth Shastakam, seems to imply, there are certain rules and regulations for chanting. But we also said there are no rules and regulations for chanting. So how do we reconcile the two?
There are 10 offenses. Oh, you can say that the 10 offenses are there. But for one who has actually awakened the love of Krishna within the heart, there's no need for rules and regulations. Rules and regulations are for us neophytes. Once one has awakened genuine spontaneous love, he doesn't need the rules and regulations anymore. But we're not there yet. Don't think that you're beyond the rules and regulations, therefore, you know, I can ignore them. No, a realized soul is beyond them. We're not realized. We're trying to become realized soul. For us, the rules and regulations work.
When you are sick, you can chant in the holy name, and while you are sick in the bed, those are the rules of regulations. There is no hard and fast rules. Because if you can, the whole hand can be chanted in any situation, even if it's like there's a rule about taking bath and you get up in the morning, but that case when Lord Chaitanya visited Sarvabhama Bhattacharya, he had not taken his bath. That story of Leela. Prashadam. Huh? Prashadam. Oh, it's certainly Prashadam, yeah.
In any condition you can accept Prashadam, even if you're dirty in the bed. In that sense, no, there's no real hard impression. Just like on the airplane, we are not able to take, we come on these overnight flights, we're not able to take baths on the airplane. But we may have some Prashadam, we don't need the airplane, so we may have brought some Prashadam with us. We can honor that without having taken our bath, for example.
So Krishna says, Satatam Kirti
Yam Tamam,
so we have to chant.
So always chant. Satatam Kirti Yam Tamam, you should be chanting 24 hours a day. In any condition. In all conditions. Anything else? Everybody satisfied, ready to become pure devotees and save the world? Yes.
That all the Vedas like Sama, Yajur, Rig and Athar, they were all given to different stages for keeping safely, plus the Mahabharata to
What's he saying, David?
I'm not speaking. He said in Srimad Bhagavatam is given in different Vedas, and there are
different
mentions of, there are four different Vedas, Sava, Yajur Veda, Tharva Veda.
Different Vedas, okay.
And then after that?
They were all given to different rishis for keeping and protecting. Then who was keeping the Srimad Bhagavatam?
Okay, so they were given Atharva Veda, different rishi, Yajur Veda, different rishi, yeah. They were given to different sages. Then who was given Bhagavatam?
Because Srila Vyasadev wrote all those.
Srila Vyasadev wrote all of them. So who was given the Bhagavatam?
The original four verses come from Lord Brahma. This is a chapter Shlaki Bhagavatam. Lord Brahma is the original four verses. And that's been expanded. Shukadeva Goswami, his discussion with Maharaj Prakshit. So it's realized that it reveals to these great personalities, Lord Brahma, Shukadeva Goswami, in this way it's coming. To a great person, to a great self-realized soul that's coming to it. It's the essence of all Vedas. This is the cream of the crop. This is the cream. The finest, Bhagavatam is the finest essence of all Vedic knowledge. One understands Bhagavatam automatically is the master of all the Vedas. It's the essence of all Vedic knowledge. You understand Bhagavatam, you have perfect Vedic knowledge. Okay? Now you've become a master of Bhagavatam. Now you're a master of Vedic knowledge. You're a master of Bhagavatam, you're a master of all Vedic knowledge. Okay? Anything else? Okay, we'll stop here and we thank you all for tuning in to Krishna Katha. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai.